Wolves.com. The Cubs and the White Sox have both been pretty quiet so far today down at the winter meetings in Orlando. Now, supposedly, the Cubs have had discussions with Cleveland regarding pitcher Danny Salazar, but nothing has materialized, at least not yet. And no leadoff hitter has been determined for the upcoming season, but Joe Maddon once again bringing up a name that had little success at the top of the order last season.
Schwarber absolutely can lead off if he's hitting like Schwarber and he's, you know, accepting his walks and he's got his 250-plus batting average and his on-base is at least 100. His on base is going to be 100 points over his batting average. I really believe that again. So he's definitely, I definitely would consider that once again, but I want to see who all the available candidates are first.
Other news down in Orlando, Minnesota has signed pitcher Michael Pineda to a two-year deal. The Mets do the same for pitcher Anthony Swarzak. Miami deals outfielder Marcell Ozuna to St. Louis for a package of prospects. And Colorado has signed pitchers Jake McGee and Brian Shaw to multi-year deals, and they're also closing in on retaining closer Greg Holland. And former Bull Nate Robinson is joining the newly formed American Flag Football League. This is one I haven't heard about. It's apparently going to start in March, and one of the coaches in the league will be Chad Ochocinco. Terry Bors is back, and he will be joining the Lawrence Holmes Show with Miller Lite Friday. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. at Stanley's in Elgin. For the next stop on his book signing tour, come see the broadcast and hang out with Terry. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite Hold True. Terry's A Score of a Lifetime will be sold on-site and is available wherever books are sold and online at triumphbooks.com/Terry Bors. This scoreboard update brought to you by Spot Hero. Book your spot today with Spot Hero. Park smarter. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
And the other forward for the final time, number 24 on the floor, Dixon. Five-time world champion, Kobe Bryant
on the move with the jumper. He by! And the Lakers lead. And the Lakers close out Kobe Bryant's career with a win and one of the great farewell performances in any sport at any time, authored by one of the NBA's all-time greats, Kobe Bryant. 60 points. 23 in the fourth quarter of his farewell game.
What can I say? Mamba out.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Let's talk about him, shall we? Roland Lazenby, the author on Twitter at Lazenby, joins us now on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. The book is called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. Timed up well with Bryant having his jersey numbers 8 and 24 retired on December 18th. Hello, Roland. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Always good to talk to you, Roland, and you've done some great work over the years.
Well, thank you.
So, Kobe Bryant, what did you learn about him that you didn't know before?
Oh, a whole lot of stuff. You know, I was just thinking as I was listening to the replay of that 60-point performance, I don't know what was more amazing, the fact that he scored the 60 at his age or that he had Mamba Out t-shirts ready to go on his website as soon as the game was over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kobe is a very complex guy. He's sort of a subset of Michael Jordan. And, you know, so many of the things in his life have been complicated. He's been controversial. You know, it was the image that he was this kid who was determined to copy Michael, that he was going to demand to go to the Lakers right out of high school, and that, you know, he was this guy who just, as Rick Fox once told me, you know, he upset everybody because he was sort of cutting in line in the cafeteria. And it was a tough thing. But, you know, actually, Kobe Bryant, he's never defended himself for this, but he wanted none of that. He wanted to go to college. His folks needed the money. And the reason I know this, I've spent a lot of time with Sonny Vaccaro, the guy who was with Nike, of course, and went on to Adidas, but they paid Kobe Bryant millions to turn pro, and they paid his parents a lot of money, too, Adidas did. And Sonny Vaccaro said that when Kobe turned pro, he said, "Mr. Vaccaro, is there any way my parents could have this money and I can go to college?"
So he didn't realize or he didn't understand the decision he was making?
No, he really didn't. Vaccaro was stunned, and Kobe, you know, was set up when they realized they had this bright kid. And he already identified and loved watching Michael, just like he'd learned all these other people. But it was only after he learned that they wanted him to be the next Michael that he shaved his head and started. Vaccaro was stunned at how he started picking up the mannerisms
yes.
of Michael.
He was aping him. It was his speech pattern, even down to his walk.
Yes, and those kinds of things just infuriated people, as you can imagine. What amazes me more is that Kobe Bryant has never said, "Look, I wasn't thinking this." He's never defended himself on this. And he had people so angry, forget Chicago. They were angry in Philadelphia. They were angry at a lot of NBA stops. The PR, the optics of the thing was terrible. And somehow he survived that.
How did you address the Colorado rape allegations in the book and the effect that they've had on him and the effect that, and I don't want to paint this in any way insensitive to the alleged victim, but it's a book about him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious how it's part of his biography at this point.
Well, you know, I just try to take them straight on, and because there's not much other way to take them. And, you know, I used to be a police reporter, so yeah, I'm used to covering criminal justice. But it's a pattern that happened. Kobe basically destroyed his life. As Sonny Vaccaro said, Kobe was like the Russians with the Romanovs. He got rid of everybody. He really resented. It appears he felt manipulated. He got rid of Adidas. He got rid of his agent, Arne Tellem. He got rid of Phil Jackson. He got rid of Shaquille O'Neal. He did all these things, and in the process of doing this, he was also charged with sexual assault. And it was like a Tiger Woods sort of thing where, you know, Tiger Woods had never recovered. Now, Kobe had two things going for him. He had that iron will that was very close to MJ's, and he had the good fortune that Phil Jackson came back to that team. And, of course, then Pau Gasol came in the trade. But Kobe rebuilt his life that he destroyed. In addition to all those other people he threw out his entire family. Credit cards canceled, cars towed, house sold out from under them. I mean, ruptured relationships right on the eve of the 2001 playoffs. And this is a factor that's never really become public. All of these people out of his life. It left him very lonely in 2001 when the Lakers won the championship in his hometown of Philadelphia. No family there with him. No one. He ended up sobbing quietly with the one person who showed up, his uncle Chubby Cox, in the locker room.
The memorabilia issue that happened a couple of years back, too, where his family was selling some memorabilia of his, and he got angry at them for that. I talked to a former teammate of his once when I worked for SiriusXM NBA Radio, and this teammate told me that if you had met Kobe after the rape allegations, you'd think that this was a man who never had a friend before. So it's amazing to me the way that you're detailing it in this book, because I've heard some of those stories, but I have never heard him talk about it or being written about. Was he a guy that had friends or needed people around him, or was he the guy that, hey, I don't need you guys around me anyway because I've never needed this, so now everybody can be gone?
Well, you know, he spent a lot of his formative years in Italy, where he was an outsider there, and it was a challenge there. He'd come back to Philadelphia in the summer, but Philly is a very insular town. His father, Joe Jellybean, had gotten a huge contract with just a freakish thing with the 76ers. back in the mid-70s, and they bought a house out in the suburbs. So when, the family always lived there, and when they moved back to America after Joe Bryant played in Italy for 8 years, they moved into that house, which put him at Lower Merion. And, you know, he had this huge battle in Philly because he wasn't playing in the public league. He was playing suburban basketball. And, it, you know, they're just a series of these kinds of things that he had to battle to overcome, and it probably took him a full 20-year career to prove things to people. As you know, he got booed in his hometown of Philly at the All-Star game.
What was the geographical effect of playing these 9:30 starts for people in the Midwest, 10:30 starts for people out east? That for many, you say, oh, Kobe scored 81 last night. Oh, well, you pick up the late edition of the paper, it's there, or you check your phone or you see it there. But there weren't as many people, simply because of where he played, that regularly got to watch him outside of highlights or the occasional late game or once we got into the playoffs. Was that something that that will change the way he's remembered nationally and internationally?
I think that has an effect on anyone who's played for the Lakers or for any West Coast team for that matter. And when the Grizzlies were in Vancouver, I'd go out there to cover games. I'd think, man, this is like being on the moon. But if you think about the great Magic Johnson and the way he played the game and the things he did, he really didn't have even the Sports Center highlights and things like that to drive the equation. He really was literally on the moon in terms of a real star player. And you think of the great blessing of Michael being in Chicago and having the presence of the time zones there where people could see him. Yeah, I think it was one of the great gifts of the 80s and the 90s that Michael was a Bull. And it helped the NBA grow because he was in Chicago.
Is it possible for Kobe to be as decorated as he was and being a bad teammate?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, Kobe's very much to himself. And he had some part of that time there where he destroyed his life. He really was a bad teammate. He got rid of Phil. He got rid of Shaq. The team just cratered that next season. And he screamed at his teammates and stormed out of the locker room at the end of the season. And, you know, then he turned around and took on Jerry Buss, and it looked like he was about to finally totally do himself in. So he had components of a bad teammate. He really, I spent a lot of time with him when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was the first real bully to go. The NBA in 96 was very much a man's game. Mm-hmm. And Kobe was the first guy. Now, Tracy McGrady, the Caro turned around, and Adidas paid Tracy McGrady a ton of money to turn pro, too. And today the league is very young. There's just a lot of kids in it. But back then, there just weren't many people, and there was a lot of open resentment. The other side of that, though, is Kobe put so much pressure on those veterans in practice with the way he played because he was immensely talented. You know, Michael did the same thing. Yep. In Chicago when he got there, and he would just embarrass people, and Kobe could do that. Tex Winter, who was my great friend. Of course, he's incapacitated by a stroke. But we talked all the time, and Tex said, and he often marveled at Kobe and Michael, but he said there are several differences, but the main difference was Michael had those 3 years at Carolina, and Kobe went from this high school team where the coach had to basically manage his personality, and he went right into the NBA without the benefit of really any basketball finishing. And you know, he was just such a fierce sort of singular personality. It was a bad fit from the beginning. He was a lonely, lost kid.
Roland, last question that I have for you. I'm fascinated, and as I was with Michael Jordan and the time that I got to spend around Michael Jordan covering those three-peat teams a second time around, the fine line between some of these brilliant competitors and a genuine sociopathy, where you say that maybe these are people that just have something that's a little wrong with them, but they have immense talent and are also blessed with just the right outlet for whatever is wrong with them to manifest itself competitively. And it just, I saw so much of that in Michael, and I see some of this in Kobe Bryant, the way you describe Kobe Bryant as well. This understanding of however they're wired, it's the right guy for the right job at the right time in his era. And it's just amazing that with all those similarities to Jordan, you see the same kind of issues that just are able to be channeled in a productive way.
Well, you know, Phil brought in the sports psychologist George Mumford to work with guys, and he later brought him to L.A. to work with Kobe. And George Mumford told me, he said, you know, when I got there, at first he couldn't believe Jordan. And Mumford had roomed with Dr. J at UMass, and he just couldn't. When he got there, it was like Jordan came back from the 95 March, return, and Mumford just couldn't believe Michael Jordan, and he said, this guy must be bipolar or something. He can't sustain this level. And as it went on it was. And Mumford realized his job, both with Jordan and later with Kobe, was to teach them or to help them see and to gain compassion for their own teammates. And these
good
are guys
luck.
Who were just going to drive them.
Roland? Good stuff as always. Tell people where they can find the book, the name of the book, all the information.
It is Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. It's from Little Brown. It's everywhere, you know, all the stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that good stuff. And, of course, it's right there with Michael Jordan, The Life, which just went to an 11th printing in its paperback edition. So nice. You guys are very kind to allow me to do that.
You're a basketball treasure, my friend. We always look forward to talking to you.
Wow, I tell you, it's a lot of fun for me to talk to you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Roland. That's Roland Lazenby, the great basketball biographer, brought to you by Taco Bell. So easy to dip, so hard to put down. Rolled chicken tacos are back. Shredded chicken all rolled up with your choice of dips. Only at Taco Bell. Anthony Heron's up next talking football. Keep it here. You got the score.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, middays on the score.
I think that Jay Cutler, at age 50, could still come back and throw for 280 and three touchdowns. And somewhere there'd be somebody who says, you see? All he ever needed was the right system.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. It's Wednesday, which means we're now 4 days out of the Patriots-Steelers in Pittsburgh, and we are all about this game. But nobody more so than Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, who said, quote, it's good to be in the kitchen. The kitchen's in Pittsburgh, PA this week, in the National Football League, and at Heinz Field. That's where you want to be in the middle of December. We don't take it for granted. End quote. Love that. He's right. It is good to be in the kitchen. The only problem is the Patriots have been in the Steelers' kitchen and their living room and their den and their pool and their backyard. A lot. In fact, they've ripped all the beer from their fridge, put their feet up on the coffee tables, spilled food on their rugs, and blown out their speakers. What I'm saying is, Tom Brady is 10-2 against the Steelers in his career, 6-1 since Mike Tomlin took over. They own Pittsburgh. The question now is whether or not the Steelers can change that on Sunday. Can't wait to find out. I'm Jim Rome.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? What everyone wants but rarely gets, a great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We make the world's softest and most comfortable sheets. By cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you at BollAndBranch.com, our sheets cost less than half of designer brands and are twice the quality. There's a reason our sheets have tons of five-star reviews. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, including three U.S. presidents, are sleeping better than ever on Boll & Branch. We know you will too. That's why we let you sleep on them risk-free for a month. They arrive beautifully packaged in our signature gift box. Giving a thoughtful gift has never been easier. And right now, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you use promo code LINENS. That's $50 off, plus free shipping at BollAndBranch.com. Promo code LINENS. BollAndBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code LINENS.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein.
And Jason Goff.
Mattress Firm's winter slumber sale is going on now through December 25th. It might be winter, but you can get a free box spring when you pick out your perfect mattress. Every perfect night's sleep needs a perfect foundation, and this one is free.
Yeah, it's free, and there's a bunch of stores because, you know, there's a Mattress Firm on every other corner. There's over 100 in the Chicagoland area, and for a limited time, you pay zero. That's right, 0% APR for 6 years so you can sleep soundly. And speaking of sound, this Friday to Sunday only, get the new voice-activated Sonos One smart speaker when you get a mattress for just $7.99. Talk about sleeping soundly. Yeah, because that's what I said. You can sleep soundly and then get yourself a speaker for $7.99.
The year-end closeout is here as well, and that means you can save up to 70% on your favorite name brand floor samples. That includes Beautyrest, Serta, and Hampton and Rhodes, and maybe you're all set on mattresses. So top it off with sheets, pillows, any accessory you can dream of. Take your sleep to a new level with an adjustable base. And when you go into Mattress Firm, really don't forget to check that out. Because if you're doing this and you're upgrading your sleep to that point, when you're able to have these permutations, it's like getting an infinite number of new mattresses because of the ways you can configure it to fit your sleep needs.
And you get the vibrating feature, and you get the light feature so you don't stub your toes.
Warren Sapp sent me a vibrating feature.
Take it easy. You can also get the adjustable base with the USB cord so you can plug in all your devices as well.
Yeah. Yep. See, next thing you know, high tech, adjustable base, all of it. It's all the winter slumber sale. Get into Mattress Firm and check it out right now. Save money.
Sleep happy.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com, created by a team of dedicated pajama experts. The world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. Talk about dreamy. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel. You'll love the way they caress every curve. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to linger a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. You don't even have to wrap. Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, Christmas delivery guaranteed. Call 1-800-GIVE-PJs or click the banner to visit Pajamagram.com.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses, and you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk, but one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station, covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
The Bears are not a shoe-in to beat anybody. I don't care about what injuries Cincinnati has.
I think you're right. They've proven that to us. Kudos to them for that ability to lose to absolutely anyone.
Wait, anyone think it's a lock that they beat the Browns on Christmas Eve?
No. Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I'm keeping this very simple when it comes to the Bears. If Mitch Trubisky is good, everything's fine.
I don't know if everything's fine.
If you have a quarterback, it's such a huge step.
Yeah, things are good.
Yeah, if he's better than good, then you're super excited. It was a palpable uptick for your most important player. Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
You know, it was great to see the young players because that's kind of what makes you have some hope for the future. Mitch Trubisky's young. Jordan Howard is young. You know, Whitehair is still young. You know, Eddie Jackson is young. They got some good young players.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Hanley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Now, the Bears aren't going to feel sorry for anyone.
No.
Because their whole year has been sort of injury-riddled. So it's good for a week to see them play good football, just to see them get a feel-good. It's just a much happier Sunday than it normally would be.
Mully and Hanley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The Score's Spiegel and Parkins and Bernstein and Goff bring you a holiday wish list for the Chicago sports fan.
I want a new football coach.
Danny, I want a rich hobbyist to buy the Bears and play with them like his little toy.
You know any of those?
No.
I want the Bears not to suck. I want the Bulls not to suck. I want the Sox to grow up. And I want the Cubs to continue to make us money.
My most heartfelt wish is that Chicago sports radio hosts would stop doing trite seasonal bits.
But of course, the number one wish of Chicago sports fans is no doubt to attend the Score holiday broadcast live from Shoeless Joe's Alehouse and Grill in Addison Friday, starting at 9 a.m. with Spiegel and Parkins, and then from 1 to 6 with Bernstein and Goff. We'll give away great prizes all day, so stop by and get into the holiday spirit with 670 The Score. Plus, enjoy specially priced Dos Equis brought to you by Lover's Lane and O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Now, the rest of the Iowa defense up front. Heron, the best of the bunch right now.
Anthony Heron
jumps off the screen when you watch him on film, and then when you see him in person, it's even more impressive.
Football analyst for Pac-12 Network and NBC Sports Network.
He can really do it all from the pocket. He's a dynamic athlete.
Former NFL defensive lineman.
Tripped up at the 20-yard line, Anthony Heron, number 99.
670 The Score football contributor.
I don't care if Mike Glennon is out there and his spleen is literally just being, you know, released from his internal, you know, abdominal area, just as long as Trubisky is getting to watch this take place.
My spleen has been released from my internal abdominal area. Spleen.
Anthony Heron with Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
He's on Twitter at Big Ant Heron, and he was styling out in his NBC jacket that he's got on. This guy probably has more network swag.
Got a lot of stuff.
Dig a closet full of stuff.
Network paraphernalia.
Polos, yeah. Golf shirts.
But these NBC jackets, like, you know, because I did some sidelines for them, I do booth for them. Now I got the Army Bowl coming up in January with all these high school kids. And the jackets they give us, especially because they got the Olympics every year.
Right.
So they got all this leftover Olympic stuff, especially from the winter games. So I'm going to get more swag next year after this next Olympics happens. And it's going to be all the leftover Olympic stuff, but they don't have the Olympic logo on it.
Nice.
So it's going to be something where, especially at my size, it's hard to get stuff that'll really fit you
the way
and keep
should,
you warm.
Yeah.
And well, you should go shopping with DJ Khaled, I think.
Destination XL. There it is, DXL.
Got the hookup for
get
you, right?
Fat Joe.
Yeah, get you a 6XT so you could be back in 07.
See,
you
I'm
know,
not
doing
a 6X.
The dance.
I got up to a 4X at one point. I got comfortable with that. I keep some of my 3Xs, just shirts I like that are real comfortable.
Where were you at when you were your heaviest?
About 290.
Seriously?
As heavy as I could ever get.
290?
It was uncomfortable. But the thing is,
it was bad for your heart.
It was 290 of muscle, too. So, like, now everybody assumes that you're just, yes, it was a lot of that. And everybody assumes that who saw me back then, and I'm, you know, probably a good 45-ish pounds lighter than that now, maybe 40 pounds lighter than that now. But everybody assumes, like, oh, you're in great shape. Are you working? No, I don't lift. Like, I don't curl people Jason's body weight. And I'm not eating, the girth of three different grown men.
Oh, I've read stories like that. Well, who was the former tackle for the Panthers? It was Jordan Gross.
Yeah.
Who lost, like, 120 pounds.
And is unrecognizable.
And explained how hard it was, how his body didn't want to be 310 or whatever it was. And just the amount of calories that he had to ingest just to create the muscle that he was building
when
through.
You were that big. What was the day like in terms of what they wanted you to eat?
Endless. Show up, eat a full break. Don't have a snack. Don't just have some fruit. Eat like a full breakfast with carbs and proteins as much as you can handle. Then come back. There's going to be a snack after the initial meetings. come in. Then there's a full lunch actually before, depending on the team, either before or after the practice, there will be a full lunch that's available as well. And if you come back in for post-practice meetings and workouts, then there's at least post-workout shakes and meals available, and you're expected to eat a lot when you get home, too.
All right, one of your former teams is going to be the Bears' opponent. It's the Detroit Lions, and the Bears come off a game against the Bengals where all of a sudden it wasn't awful. It wasn't. It just you expected to get another dose of Bears horror, and instead, it was, dare I say, some inspired performance by young players who matter, and you'll take it, right?
Looked like a legit football team. And, you know, when we get to December and what I'll use the term lost season, because I know there were enough people who had some hope or some expectations for more from a win-loss standpoint coming in. As I've said to you guys a number of times, once they took a quarterback at number two, those win-loss record expectations for me were gone. But we'll say that the season itself, as far as any playoff hopes, any success in the wins category, was gone. But in December, this is what you're looking for. You're looking for tangible evidence. You're looking for players putting film out there that gives you confidence they're actually developing, that they're improving. Whether or not you think that the job security of Ryan Pace is tenuous, then that game factored into it as well, because you got to see a lot of young guys doing things that made them look like they might be a good football player. And that's, of course, important. Now, John Fox ain't going to be the coach next season, so the fact that that's already determined, all you're hoping for right now is beyond physical traits that we know all of them possess at this point for these developmental players, especially this last draft earlier this year was a lot of developmental talent. Now in December, you saw developmental talent go on the field against the Bengals, who pretty much decided not to show up. But Adam Shaheen made plays. Jackson made plays. Trubisky looked as comfortable, as confident, with as much swag as he's had the entire season. Does that now carry over into a consecutive week? Because that's the most difficult thing. This is why I've been so confident the Bears weren't going to look consistently bad all year or consistently good all year, because inexperienced young teams, who are basically bad teams, are not consistent. They're not consistently bad or good. But the mission to finish this season out is how consistently, how many consecutive weeks of quality play can these young players put together?
We're going to hit an update. We'll come back with Anthony Heron right here on the Bernstein and Goff Show.
Scoreboard update.
It's 3:30, and from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, David Schuster with a scoreboard update. The Wolves return home Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is calendar night, presented by Rose Pest Solutions, with a free post-game skate. And Family Sunday features a free Museum of Science and Industry kid ticket. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Bulls are getting closer to full strength. Only Zach LaVine is still out, and he should be back over the next 3 weeks. Lauri Markkanen missed the last game with back spasms, but he'll be in uniform tonight as the Bulls host the Utah Jazz, looking for their fourth straight win. The Blackhawks will also try for four in a row. That's tomorrow night when they take on the Winnipeg Jets up in Manitoba. Today, the Hawks place defenseman Cody Franson on IR and called up Ville Poka from Rockford. Nothing doing by either the Cubs or the White Sox so far today down at the winter meetings in Orlando. The big name being dealt today was Marcell Ozuna from Miami to St. Louis for a package of four prospects. The Spiegel and Parkin Show and the Bernstein and Goff Show, they're on the road for 670 The Score's holiday broadcast. Stop by Shula's Joe's in Addison Friday from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. to see the guys broadcasting live. We will also be giving away great prizes all day, so come get into the holiday spirit with The Score. It's brought to you by Lover's Lane and O'Reilly Auto Parts. This scoreboard update brought to you by Get Covered Illinois. The deadline to enroll in health insurance on Get Covered Illinois is approaching fast. You must sign up by December 15th to get covered for 2018. Go to getcoveredillinois.gov or call 1-866-311-1119 to shop for a plan or schedule free in-person help. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk, also the number one ranked sports station in Chicago, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and Goff Show. Big Ann Heron is talking football with us right here on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Also on watch, 670thescore.com. You can check us out on Facebook Live as well. You mentioned one of those young players, and Eddie Jackson. He found himself causing two more turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some people...
Takeaways,
yeah. There are some people who don't think that he sticks his head in there the way a safety should. I think, you know, I think he does a decent enough job. If you want a thumper, I think he's more of a ball hawk, but... That ball hawk nature, is that Is that instinct? Is that preparation? I mean, he's still a guy that, you know, there's been times when he's been beat over the top, as a young player will get beat. But what are you seeing out of the safety who's been around the ball often enough for us to be like, oh, we haven't seen this since, I don't know, Mike Brown?
Well, I mean, by comparison, you know, think of Deion Bush and the times that he's been on the field. He's a guy who runs the alley with more intensity, more tenacity than maybe Eddie Jackson does at this point in his career. But if you're talking about somebody who's given up touchdowns in today's NFL, Eddie Jackson is more the type of safety you're looking for, especially as devoid of takeaways as the Bears defense has been in recent years. So that's what made it a sensible developmental pick coming off the injury. He happened to be healthy very quickly. And for a rookie safety who, you know, a defensive backfield around him that's been veteran, that's played pretty well throughout the season, I've been impressed with what he's done. Do you want him to be more consistent tackling the football? Yes. Part of it is his eyes, especially once they play him closer to the box. One thing he ends up doing is he gets nosy. He wants to go and kind of get involved in other people's business too much.
You get out of your gap.
You do, and then cutback lanes open up, and then he's in this chase mode where, yeah, maybe you make a tackle that's 12 yards down the field when it should have been a tackle where, all right, maybe you don't want to take on that big back in the hole, but you should at least be grabbing somebody or taking a guy out at the knees for a 4 or 5 yard game.
He's one of these guys that where when you hear about instincts and some safeties, you just know when you got a shark. You know you've got a shark, and that guy just is. He can feel it.
Bob Sanders.
You just sometimes get it, but Bob Sanders destroyed his body.
Yeah,
use the term shark. Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach, he loves that term. That's how he loves to describe his DBs when they're playing well, when they're getting takeaways. He was the D coordinator when I was in Atlanta. He would give out these shark awards.
I did not know that.
It's just a corollary. Shark awards for takeaways, for big plays on defense.
But can it be learned? Can you teach a non-shark to be a shark?
No, because you need to love the smell of blood in the water, I guess, to
continue the analogy.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah. But I do think you can teach, like with the frailty in Eddie Jackson's development that I just described there with his eyes, you can teach a guy who is a shark, who's obviously a shark, how to technically and functionally put himself in better positions to more consistently make plays, and more importantly, to not give up big plays by being out of position for something that maybe if it wasn't that important to him before, in Alabama's defense, it was. It should have been. That's how Nick Saban coaches his secondary, but of course, he didn't get many reps last season in college. So this is basically his senior year in college that we're seeing play out on the field in the National Football League. So to get those reps on how you fill the run, how you run the alley, what angle you take versus certain route combinations if a guy actually ends up behind you, or how you need to make sure you're seeing through number two inside to number one in case there's some sort of a combination route where somebody's going to get behind you. Just these repetitions that his physical gifts may be there to be able to thwart, but he just hasn't consistently had his body in position to do that before.
What did they learn in terms of the usage of Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard when both of them have it going? What can you learn from that game going forward?
Well, you guys know I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. To use Tariq Cohen like a real running back is important. It will allow him to have that additional skill set, some of the things outside the numbers, the periphery, to display that where the defense can't key on every time he lines up in the backfield. He's going to motion into the slot, or he's going to motion out to X. And every time he's in the game, there's going to be some sort of perimeter run where we can put ourselves in more of a lateral mentality, more of a pursuit mentality as defenders, and knowing that they're not just going to run it up the teeth with him, but to run some lead plays, to run some boss plays with him, to just have him actually attack vertically more quickly on the play. Not only is it a change of pace between he and Jordan Howard, where it attacks the defense in a number of different ways, but also just for him, from a schematic standpoint, now the defense can't key on all these other little finesse things that they like to do with him.
When you say boss, is that back on strong safety? Because they got the guy Michael Burton back there. Well, they got him on the roster, and you've seen NFL offenses start to, if not put a huge defensive tackle in front of their tailback on the goal line or a short yardage situation. You're seeing, like, I don't know if it's the comeback of the fullback, but you're seeing those guys get a few more plays. Do you think that using a fullback in front of Tariq Cohen would kind of accentuate what he can do, having someone clear the way for him?
Or does that just clutter the field for him a little bit? Would you rather, it's sort of like bringing a screener over for a guy who doesn't need a screen. I'm wondering if you'd rather have more.
Well, because if he gets touched anywhere at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage,
down.
It's a tackle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can employ that with the guy that they actually have on the roster.
It depends on the running style of the back itself. Tariq Cohen seems to me to be a guy developmentally, you know, long term, who will likely run better throughout his career without a fullback. That was something that the Lions ended up discovering about Barry Sanders. Now, the NFL at that point, everyone employed a fullback, so you still had it on the roster, and Barry ran effectively behind anybody, behind any blocking scheme or whatever.
Corey Schlesinger, right?
Exactly. For a lot of Barry's career, it was Corey Schlesinger. Corey was still there when I was in Detroit. But
Brian Urlacher got to know him very, very well.
But in a lot of scenarios, you found out Barry ran better without a fullback. I think that will likely be developmentally what happens with Tariq Cohen. And just quick side note, this game Saturday, I think it could end up being a little bit of an audition for whether or not the Bears could lure away, what would it be, James Robert Cooter from the Lions at some
Jim
point.
Jim Bob.
I think, you know, he to me, there's some stuff in his past where he's been a little immature, and he's still really young, too. So I don't know. Todd Haley would probably be my lead candidate. I prefer Todd Haley.
I've been bringing
Haley.
Up Todd Haley all season long.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good things on his resume that would make sense for Chicago, but if it's not going to be Haley, if you're a Jim Bob person, then maybe Saturday's an inkling of that.
People don't remember Haley is a former Bears positional coach. He was, I want to say, either tight ends or wide receivers coach.
He was wide receivers under, would it have been Jerron right before Lovey?
Yes.
Then, yeah, he was on Dick Jerron's staff.
This segment brought to you by Davison Invention Services. Got an idea for a new product or app? Get it off the ground before it's too late. Call Davison for your free idea starter kit. 800-294-7417. 800-294-7417. More football talk with Anthony Herron after a brief break. Keep it here. You got the score.
Mully and Hanley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
New White Sox ambassador A.J. Pierzynski.
I think Rick and Kenny have done a good job having numerous trades and numerous opportunities in order to get these guys and get players that they think are going to be good. They all work out, and we have a chance to be a dynasty for a long time. Instead of half of them work out, it's still good for the organization. It's good for the fans because that means they have a lot of good young players.
Mully and Hanley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I was just at Walgreens because I'm getting a common cold. Trust me, it's anything but common. I have a cough and chest congestion. Luckily, Walgreens is right around the corner with the right relief fast. With brands like Robitussin, I get soothing action in seconds and cough relief for hours. Swing by your local Walgreens today and start feeling even better than common. Find great value on Robitussin cough relief products at Walgreens. Use as directed.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? What everyone wants but rarely gets. A great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We make the world's softest and most comfortable sheets. By cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you at BollAndBranch.com, our sheets cost less than half of designer brands and are twice the quality. There's a reason our sheets have tons of five-star reviews. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, including three U.S. presidents, are sleeping better than ever on Boll & Branch. We know you will, too. That's why we let you sleep on them risk-free for a month. They arrive beautifully packaged in our signature gift box. Giving a thoughtful gift has never been easier. And right now, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you use promo code LINENS. That's $50 off, plus free shipping at BollAndBranch.com. Promo code LINENS. BollAndBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code LINENS.
Hey girl, have you done something new with your scales? Using new moisturizer? Nice. It really brings out the hazel in your eyes. Oh, hold on. Are you using whitening strips too? Your fangs look good, girl. Really good.
A really charming snake charmer? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Wait, what? Have you been doing Pilates too?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your call will be answered by the next available representative. Thank you for holding. How may I assist you?
We were just broken into, and we need a home security system.
Oh, sorry. Wrong department. Please hold.
The best home security isn't hard to get. With Simply Safe, you can get comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online without the hold time or runaround. Order now, and in a few days, be protected 24/7.
Go right now to simplysafe.com/best.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, guess what? You can, and it's very easy. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud and softer than a bunny. They're like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way they feel, the softness, the warmth, the comfort, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation for her to relax a little bit longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and surprise her with something she'll love all winter long. Plus, you don't even have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So go to Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs and tell them the score sent you.
Space, the final frontier.
Radio.com celebrates one of the most iconic franchises in the galaxy.
Engage
is the official Star Trek podcast with film critic and author Jordan Hoffman.
This is the place to be for science fiction fans that want to listen to recaps of the new Star Trek Discovery show, interviews with the cast and crew of Star Trek, new Star Trek, old Star Trek movies, weird sci-fi. You've got it all on
Engage. Download and subscribe at the new Radio.com app.
Hi, I'm Peter Greenberg. Check out my new show, the CBS Travel Hour, with Peter Greenberg.
He's America's most recognized and respected frontline travel news journalist, and now host of his own podcast on Radio.com.
We'll talk about everything from the best airline deals to cruise ship safety, from which brochures lie to hotel security. You'll find out about how to negotiate the best rental car deals to which airline is really on time. And we'll talk with travel experts and major global newsmakers.
The CBS Travel Hour with Peter Greenberg. Download and subscribe at the new Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment is brought to you by Burlington. Make your Burlington store your coat headquarters. Coat drive. Save big on great styles for the family. Plus, sweaters, scarves, hats, gloves, and boots for way less. Burlington style for everyone.
Talking to Anthony here and about NFL. Bears and some college football as well. All right, the Heisman went down like everybody thought it would. Mm-hmm. I thought they could have invited a couple of more guys, but you know, three.
Why?
Well, and Saquon Barkley, the way he played the first 6-7 weeks of the season.
So he could sit there, though? He wasn't going to win.
I mean, if that's the case, Lamar and Bryce Love shouldn't have been there either then.
It'd just be awkward to have Mayfield one there dude, by himself.
Just a whole, an hour and a half.
Room full of people right, just staring right, at Baker Mayfield.
Billy Sims is, I can't wait to say Boomer Sooner. I'm telling you now, Billy Sims is the, I tweeted it, I have to say it. Billy Sims is the uncle that tries to holler at your girl when you go in the really house at the barbecue. Because it's like, bro, you had your moment. Like, why are you doing
uncle
this?
Slick Willie.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, but I didn't get a chance to see much of the presentation. But Baker Mayfield, best player in college football this year to you?
Hands down. I think just throughout the season, as consistent as he was, the big games he won at home and on the road, he was just statistically spectacular the entire year. And there wasn't another player on the best team that really was able to challenge him. Now, Lamar Jackson was statistically, to me, even more spectacular than Baker Mayfield, but...
Team didn't win.
So you compare last season to this season, and, right. and Lamar, by most accounts, was even better this year than last year.
Yeah, but Mayfield was the best college player in college football, which right. is different. I mean, Saquon Barkley is going to be a very, very wealthy NFL player for a long time. I'm not certain. Yeah.
What do you think about Baker Mayfield's pro prospects, though?
I'm not completely sold
on. The whole short guy thing is gone the way of Russell Wilson and Drew Brees now.
Guess,
every short guy is going to be Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. Got to have big feet and big hands.
Yeah,
that makes up for a lack of height.
He's not as accurate as Drew Brees. He's not as mobile as Russell Wilson. He's certainly not as mature as either guy. So that to me is an issue. And what a tackle, though.
That police.
That guy is not on a scouting report somewhere.
He ran away from campus police, and three policemen kind of tried to corral him, and one dude just speared him.
Legal, too. Didn't target him. Nothing. It wasn't up top. Wasn't forcible to the head or neck area, yep. right there in yep. the abdominal area.
In the strike zone.
Yes. And I mean, there was a wall behind him, too, so it was almost like a double hit. that he
took.
Yeah,
it was a brick wall behind him.
This should have been on the highlight reel.
This guy dove into a football player and a brick wall to make sure that he caught a dude smoking weed or drinking a beer when he wasn't supposed to.
And that guy is somewhere right now talking about how, yes, when I was in all-conference, linebacker somewhere, that's exactly how I did that one dude for my state rival.
That tackle is a screensaver.
It better be.
Are you worried? Are you worried if you're an NFL GM?
Yeah.
You know, third round, about fourth Mayfield, round comes around, and they're like, hey, let's take this guy.
Well, I don't know if he'll last to the third or fourth round just because I don't think this year's quarterback position is deep enough where a guy who is as successful as Baker Mayfield will last that deep. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, you know, for him, he'll need to do some things to secure a spot in the first round, by my estimation, because what he did statistically is certainly impressive, but the system that they run there at Oklahoma, you know, being a spread quarterback, that's obviously going to have some folks hesitate. And again, physically, his physical traits will be impressive, but not eye-popping. You know, like a Johnny Manziel, he's not even the athlete overall that Johnny Manziel is. I'm not even sure he's even got as strong of an arm.
Oh, but you've seen enough Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. Where does he stack up against those guys?
They're going to blow him away just in that evaluation process between the combine. I mean, honestly, you know, the interviews, he'll hold his own in interviews, and he'll be able to. He is, and he's already been used to answering the questions about some of his immaturity that was shown.
But when they get him on the board and they say, identify a front, or, you know, what do you do against this front? Famously, we heard about what happened with Bryce Petty, now a starting quarterback in the NFL, when he asked the question, what's a front? And one scout said, what do you mean, what's a front? I assume that Baker Mayfield will be able to say that's a 30, that's a 40, this guy's the Mike. Right,
he'll be able to do that much. Now, between now and then, as far as identifying coverages in a more legitimate NFL manner, that's something that I think will still need to come between now and him getting on the board with some NFL teams. Because schematically, that offense, there's still a lot of open grass as opposed to actually reading and progressing through coverages in a way that you do in the National Football League. So he'll have some learning to do. But I mean, you know, Mitchell Trubisky has some learning to do, and
so
I think
does
everybody coming out. Yeah, so that doesn't concern me as much as his maturity and where he's at physically. Like a guy like Michael Vick was smaller than Baker Mayfield, but a lot faster, had a much stronger arm. Mm-hmm. There's physical traits that he will need to wow people more with than I anticipate he will to assure himself being at the top half of the first round. Because just college film to college film, Baker Mayfield has been a much better college quarterback than either Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, hands down. But projecting to the next level, those physical traits become more and more important with every level you advance through football with. And just quick note, Saquon Barkley is going to get drafted very high. For 230, 235-pound running back, for every play he makes to be as a kick returner, as a perimeter player, basically he is Tariq Cohen plus like 90 pounds as far as the way he plays the game. That concerns me. Like, you know, Todd Gurley was similar as far as his skill set when he came out of Georgia, but Georgia would run him downhill too. Saquon Barkley, out of the spread they run at Penn State, they don't run him effectively downhill that much. Now, his offensive line isn't great.
No,
that's
but
part
they,
of why I knew Penn State
they ask him
strong
to make that one jump cut often, where there's going to be one guy he's got to beat in the hole,
right?
And he's just so skilled. He's just got such swerve.
Strong. Yes,
that guy can't explode with him laterally.
But if you're going to be a burly ball carrier in the NFL, which 230 pounds is going to be burly,
like
wherever
Fournette,
you're at,
watching the stuff Fournette tries to do,
right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be that size, that girth, and run in what most NFL running schemes will ask you to do, because you're not going to be spread out running the ball as nearly as often in the NFL. The hash marks just don't benefit it in that way. So when you're doing that in the NFL, to make one guy miss in the hole is not consistently where your yards will be gained. It will be how often can I run through contact? Mm-hmm. How quickly do I get vertical and run with physicality? That's something Saquon Barkley hasn't had to do a lot in college. Now, he's a physical marvel. He's a generational talent. What he's done at Penn State does not, and you know, a lot of folks aren't saying this, but I think it will come up in the evaluation process just based off what I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. I think there will eventually be concerns about how often has he run with power downhill.
It's fascinating to think that we're in that lull period already, where we've got Saturday NFL games. This is the weird time,
yeah,
for me. For the overall football time is bizarre because college is over, and we're just kind of
bowl season starts tomorrow.
Yeah, just
right?
like trickling right. into the bad bowl mm-hmm. games whose names have all
welcome
changed.
Welcome to the bad bowl.
They are though, and they're
I'm Flurn Musburger
yeah, here with Flurn Blurmanson,
presented by this company you don't care about.
Right, do not right. adjust your sets. The field is actually mauve because that
yeah. mauve.
It's odd football yeah. time in this sort of interstitial.
You almost
things,
try yeah. to force yourself to enjoy aspects of it, but it doesn't come
I've
naturally
been doing that
to
with
me
the
anymore.
Bears all year, though. Right. Yeah. That's right. Bears.
That false
games,
enthusiasm.
Right?
You're faking it well.
After Christmas is when. And when you're like, oh, this team's
there
playing this team, or yep. Yep. I did not know. Like the bowl matchups, I used to know all of them when I was a kid, but that was when there was
like
12.
Six of them.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Now yeah, there's 34.
It
and
makes a big difference.
I don't care about maybe 40 out of the 50 that are out there.
Are you pro-expansion or anti-expansion of the playoff?
I don't like... I didn't want the playoff to begin with because I thought BCS was doing its job. All that arguing, you still got the number one and number two yep. team every single year.
If there was eight teams, Penn State fans would be up in arms right now.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody would still, number nine would be upset. Number 10 would be upset.
And
you're just expanding it, but you're still going to have people angry.
They got to be in class at some point.
Sorry.
The same.
I just had
a. Not everybody's
it's a
going,
real thing.
Not everybody's
it's
going
a real
to the
thing.
Not everybody's
Jordan
going to the. Not it's everyone is going to the thing. NFL, Dan. Not everybody's going. There are a bunch of kids. Like we all think that every one of these kids thinks they're going to the NFL. There are kids who go to these schools. Like, yo, I'm third on the depth chart and I'm a sophomore. There's no way in hell that two people are going to die this year for me to show my talent. I'm here to get a degree as well.
Oh, I'm the starting left guard at Iowa. And I've already had like three surgeries and I'm about to get my right. my master's degree right. in a moment. And I know I'm not going to go there. Like some people are realistic. We just we pay attention to the Baker Mayfields and the Lamar Jacksons because that's who we pay attention
if
to.
If the NCAA
the field.
Wants to act like those commercials that they run actually matter, oh, we've got a bunch of people who aren't going pro in anything except for life. Well, you can't mess around and have 15 games. You can't. You already got 13 games.
Yep.
Every team's playing 13 games. When I was a kid, 10 or 11 games did it. Now you got teams playing 13, 14
teams
games.
In the national championship game will play 15.
Yes.
They're going to play 15 games. And every one of these college football playoff championship games so far, there's been at least like a dozen real players, key players, by the end of that game between having like 6 to 8 of them hurt beforehand and then a bunch of other ones just dropping like flies during the game, that's asking a lot. And to me, if the playoff is going to expand, and I wasn't like this up until maybe 7 years ago, find some way to compensate the players at a higher level than just the scholarship and the cost of attendance. Because everybody else continues to make more money by the postseason, by all, hey, I got a great career out of it. You got a great career. We make money based off of what we're asking these quote-unquote amateur athletes to do, and they're getting the same full ride that I got 20 years ago. But the sport is making probably 5 times the money it did, maybe even more than when I was playing Big Ten football. So to me, if everybody else gets to make more money, if Nick Saban gets a huge buyout, if he leaves Alabama, what is it, $70 million in buyouts just over the last month?
Look at
if
the
everybody else gets to do that.
Assistant coach pay.
Assistant coaches.
Look, that's you
everybody
really want to see
rolling.
Something insane.
Except
look
the
at
players.
What college assistant coaches
real
make.
Guys are getting a mil plus.
Assistants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anthony, always good to see you, man.
Yeah, great to see you.
I hope the Bambino's all good. Yes. Anthony Herron, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernstein and Goff Show. When we come back, in other news, why are you rubbing your Birdman hand rubbing
I've
over there? What's going on?
Some fun things. Which Birdman now? We got to
no,
get
into this. No, not Chris Anderson, the Birdman that I was talking about last week.
Okay.
What you got for
we
us?
We got to make sure it's the right Birdman here. I've got an NFL coach that refuses to tell you what his favorite movie is, and he got all weird about it.
Is it a movie
you are, right, it is right, absolutely, right. You're free to speculate on any of that. And I have a, I have an opportunistic suburban rodent.
The most influential person in sports this year. And Wright Thompson is doing something that I don't have the courage to do. It's the Bernstein and Goff Show and other news next on 670 The Score.
You're listening to the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It's not the worst thing in the world to be single. Except during the holidays when, honestly, it ranks right up there. Think about it. Holiday parties, work functions, family gatherings, they're all easier to take when you've got someone with you. It's also the time of year you want to have someone special to get gifts for. And then, of course, there's New Year's Eve. Well, you could just sit there and cry into your eggnog, or you could do something. This holiday season, how about getting yourself a gift? The gift of companionship and fun and maybe even love with It's Just Lunch. The expert matchmakers at It's Just Lunch make dating easy. They'll arrange fun dates with someone you'll be excited about. And they're even there to give you a few dating pointers in case it's been a while and your game's a little rusty. It's Just Lunch also makes a perfect holiday gift for someone else. I'll bet you know exactly who I mean. It's Just Lunch, the smart way to date.
Call 312-881-5225 or visit itsjustlunchchicago.com to learn more. Call today and be dating tomorrow.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? What everyone wants but rarely gets, a great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We make the world's softest and most comfortable sheets. By cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you at BollandBranch.com, our sheets cost less than half of designer brands and are twice the quality. There's a reason our sheets have tons of five-star reviews. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, including three U.S. presidents, are sleeping better than ever on Boll & Branch. We know you will, too. That's why we let you sleep on them risk-free for a month. They arrive beautifully packaged in our signature gift box. Giving a thoughtful gift has never been easier. And right now, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you use promo code LINENS. That's $50 off, plus free shipping at BollandBranch.com. Promo code LINENS. BollandBranch.com, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code LINENS.
I was just at Walgreens because I'm getting a common cold. Trust me, it's anything but common. I have a cough and chest congestion. Luckily, Walgreens or Duane Reade are right around the corner with the right relief fast. With brands like Robitussin, I get soothing action in seconds and cough relief for hours. Swing by your local Walgreens today and start feeling even better than common. Find great value on Robitussin cough relief products at Walgreens.